Good morning, Evanston Vineyard.
Good morning.
All right, you guys are good. The election is this week. I don't know what feelings that conjures up for you guys, but I want you to know that as a pastoral team, we all put our names in a hat, and I got picked to preach this week, so here we are. It is a privilege and honor for me to speak with you. This morning, I want to take the time to ask you guys the question, who is someone that has taken care of you? Think about that for a moment. When you thought of that person, I want you to share with your neighbor who that person is. For me, it's Brian Vanderwerf. He's so pastoral. But share with your neighbor. Everyone share. Don't lie in church. All right, everyone share it with somebody. All right, cool. We are in a sermon series titled Jesus, the Desire of the Nation. And we're asking the question, why is Jesus the good king? And if you follow along, you will notice that in this series, the gospel writer John actually records the reasons for us. So if you remember last week, Ted talked about Jesus as the light of the world. And I felt like God wanted to personally endorse Ted's message because if you remember, right after his sermon, all the lights turned off in the lobby. And then you heard, and then I was like, you didn't pay attention in the sermon. Light is good. God is good. Today, we're going to look at why Jesus as the good shepherd is good news for you and for me. If you have a copy of the Bible or paper handout, we'll read from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Bibles, anybody? Physical Bibles? All right, sorry. Kiva told me not to make that joke. All right. This is how my Bible reads. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of God. Let's try that again. This is the word of God, and you guys say, thanks be to God that we have a collection of God's words to speak to us today. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. So why is Jesus as the good shepherd good news for us today? Here are four reasons from the text. The first reason is that God is good. There you go. You almost missed your opportunity to praise God. Look at what the shepherd says in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd, not the bad shepherd, not the rookie shepherd. He's not even a partisan shepherd. He's a good shepherd. I like the call and response between black Christians and the church today. It goes like this. I say, God is good, and then you say,
all the time.
There you go. And then I say, all the time, and then you guys don't need practice. All right. It's important that we seep that into our hearts. if you're like me, you wonder, if God is so good, why are there areas of my life in large parts of the world that aren't good? See, in the same way you need darkness to appreciate light, I believe in we need trouble situations for God to truly reveal his goodness. Now that's hard. It was when my baptism fractured my relationship with my father that I realized that we really have God as a good, good father. Are you following? See, the sheep cannot trust the shepherd to be protector if they are never in a situation where they need protecting. The sheep can only recognize the shepherd as provider if they are put in situations where they need provision. Sheep can only recognize the shepherd as caretaker if they are in situations they need to be taken care of. Otherwise, they will think everything is good. But recognizing his goodness when calamity strikes is actually food for our souls. It strengthens us and matures us as believers. Do you know the second most common question after does God exist is why does God allow suffering in the world? In other words, it's is God real? And if he's real, is he good? And those are legitimate questions, aren't they? That's why I'm so glad that as a church we're doing Alpha so people can sit and wonder about these questions and hopefully see not only is God real, but that God is good. Let me lean in. So one day in Genesis chapter 1, God came and said, I'm going to go visit nothing. So there he was, just visiting nothing. And then he started looking at nothing. Then God spoke to nothing. Then something, nothing became something. And that something was called, does anybody know? Good. In Genesis 1, it says this. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. The point I'm trying to make is that in the same way messy people create mess, and bright people come up with bright ideals, so do good people create good things. See, the Garden of Eden was good. Humanity was good until sin entered the world and it exploded with all kinds of evil. But God is so good that Joseph, who went through hell and high water, was able to stand and say to the people that harmed him, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I remember last year I was on a plane ride, about to hop on a plane to meet Steve in London, and God put this verse in my head, and I knew that he wanted me to share it with somebody, I just didn't know who. Sure enough, I get on the plane, I'm stuck in the middle, which is not good for me of someone my size. And sure enough, there's a woman right next to me. And she pulls out her Bible. So I was like, I'm not that bright, but I'm just going to guess that's the person God wants me to speak to. And so I shared with the lady the Bible verse, and I wanted to tell her, I told her, the part about saving many lives is gonna be true for you. And then she said, oh, it already is. And then we end up talking the whole plane ride because she shared vulnerably with me about how she'd been awfully abused and that through God's grace, she was led to start a nonprofit organization. And she was on a plane ride to London to speak to some very, very big corporations about trauma-informed practices, mixing them in with biblical truth. And that was so powerful that these big corporations I can't name get to hear the gospel because of this lady. God wanted her to know that he was her good shepherd. Somewhere I read in Romans that in all things, God works for the the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And who is called by God? Well, in that time, it was the Jews and the Gentiles, which meant everyone. Yeah, there you go. It meant everyone. When I look back over my life, I could see that Yahweh carried me onto his shoulders. He brought me back into the sheep pen. And to this day, he protects me and fights off everything, every tragedy and everything that tries to devour me. And at some point in your life, you have to ask yourself, has life been good to me, or has someone greater than life itself been good to me? I mean, can you seriously sit here today and say from the moment you were born to now that you've had full control of your life? Can you say to me that you've escaped all of life's trouble? No. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. It's a promise. But he also says, take heart because I have overcome the world. At some point in your life, you have to realize that through godly intervention, it is the Lord that takes care of you. If your marriage falls apart, if you lose your job, if your friends betray you, if a civic or religious leader leads you astray, the one constant source for course correction and comfort and care is the Lord. Friends, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Point number two, you guys aren't going to like this. We are like sheep. How do I do this? Let's finish verse 11 if you have your Bible. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When we think of sheep, we might think of a petting zoo or of sheep as sweet creatures, just frolicking and having the best of time. If you're like me, I like that. Nice. If you're like me, you may think of cartoon shows like this. Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep. A high schooler came up to me and said, only the real ones know. And I was like, yeah, sure. Or you'll remember counting sheep before you go to sleep. Anybody did that as a kid? Only me? Okay, just me and Cindy? Great. Oh, one hand back there? Great. Three people. All right. The point is we think soft. We think of green pastures and blue little ponds and fluffy widow whammies, okay? I like the way that J. Douglas Macmillan, who is a British minister and author, writes about sheep. You ready? A sheep is a stupid animal. Sheep lose their direction continually, as cats and dogs and other animals do not. In addition, sheep are extremely obstinate. Even when you find the lost sheep, it is very difficult to round them up and bring them home unless you have a dog to scare them. The lost sheep rushes to and fro, and when you find it, you must seize it, cast it down, tie its legs together, put it over your shoulder to carry it home, and finally, sheep are not at all clean, cuddly creatures they appear to be at a distance. On the contrary, they are subject to nasty pests and need to be regularly thrown into strong chemicals in order to rid them of lice, ticks, and worms. Sound like anyone you know? Don't say it out loud. Don't tell your kid. Don't say it. All right. This is the metaphor the Bible gives us time after time about the human race. Now I hear you saying, Adama, I'm a sheep with money, though. I'm a sheep with, degrees. I'm a sheep in ministry. I hear my high schooler saying, I'm a Sigma sheep. Some of you think you're a pretty sheep. Or the senior sheep. The problem is, you're still a sheep, and you need a shepherd. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. each of us have gone our own way. There have been many times in my own life where I thought going my own way was leading me on the path to success, when in reality, I was actually going off the path already paved for me by my shepherd. And when I say the shepherd, I mean the one shepherd. Truth be told, most of us have too many shepherds in our lives. Friends, there's a danger in letting other things besides the one true shepherd feed you, guide you, and care for you because they are only hired hands. In other words, what I'm really trying to say to you guys is stop letting Facebook, YouTube, ABC, NBC, WGN, and CNN feed your souls, because really they're feeding on your souls. And that's all I want to say about that. There may be people wrestling with the metaphor of humanity as sheep, but there's a freedom that comes to us when we realize the heart behind Jesus' words are really good. See, sheep are extremely loyal and love their shepherd and follow their shepherd and come when their shepherd calls. It's because they know their food, their safety comes from that shepherd and no one else. But remember, to the rest of the world, sheep are the food and a nice pair of Hanes socks. A good shepherd may not be very important to many people, but to the sheep, there is no one more important. And I think that Jesus is asking us this morning, whose hands are we putting our lives in? Did you guys hear what I said? Jesus is asking us today, whose lives are we putting, whose hands are we putting our lives in? Important question. Point number three. The hands that are not Jesus are, everybody,
hired.
Let's read verse 12 and 13 again. It says this, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away, because he is a hired hand and cares nothing, nada, for the sheep. Listen here, the hired hands in this text are neither bad nor good. The problem is that they're temporal. They are not all sufficient. This is what I mean by that. See, in the most literal sense, civic and religious leaders are, well, hired. A babysitter is hired. A teacher is much needed, by the way, but they're still hired. A pastor is hired. The president of the United States is
hired.
She's hired. Whether you like it or not, who is elected or not, the president only holds office in the states for 4 years, maybe eight. But even still, they got to hand that puppy over to somebody else. Even in other nations, when dictators lead their whole lives, when they die, they got to hand it over to somebody else. You see what I'm saying? That's why we don't put all of our hope in civic and religious leaders, because they are temporary and they make mistakes. This is why we don't put all of our hope in civic and religious leaders, because they are temporary and they make mistakes. Yes, these are roles that affect our lives, but they are temporary. And when we put too much trust in them, it can lead to death. If we're not careful, the hired hand may take the appearance of the shepherd in our own eyes. If we're not careful, the hired hand may take the appearance of the shepherd in our own eyes. Lastly, the hired hand does not need to be a person, yeah? For everybody, it could be something different. It could be a certain position you're after, and a status, or certain feelings. I want to say this clearly to you guys. These things may appear good on the surface, but at the end of the day, they're emptying. I like the way famous pop star and theologian Michael Jackson talked about hired hands. He said, all I want to say is that they don't really care about us. Oh, man, where are my non-Gen Z people at that could help me? He said, all I want to say is that these hired hands don't really care about us. There you go. Look at verse 12 and 13. The text says that the hired hands, what? Run away. It's an in-text answer. The hired hands run away. I wish there were honest people who could say that all the money that you saved up had to run away when it looked at the price of your sin. I wish that there was a few honest people that could say all of your intelligence had to flee when it couldn't bring you peace that surpassed all understanding. I wish there was a few honest people in here with positional power. Some of you guys have so much power, you snap a finger and there's a latte right there on your desk. I wish there were some honest people that could say with all the positional power you had, it had to run away when it found out it wasn't powerful enough to make all things work for your good. Isaiah 40:11 says that the Lord, as the shepherd, holds the sheep close to his heart. There's a different intimacy with Jesus as the true shepherd that we are unable to have with the shepherds that we make, which are in fact heartless. This picture, this painting really drives home that point. I spent time just looking at it. See the intimacy the shepherd has with his sheep? Do you see the vulnerability the shepherd has for his sheep? Point number four, the shepherd lays down his life. I'm going to read verses 14 through 18. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Take that in. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. I wish I had time to, get into this verse from 14 to 16, but it sounds like Jesus' prayer for us in John 17, a desire, a prayer for unity. Jesus prays this, that all of us may be one, just as you, Father, and I are one. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. The prophetic witness of the one and true God is seen in how we, the church, live as one. Does that make sense what I'm saying? How are people going to understand the complexity of the Trinity if they can't see the complexity of all of God's people living together as one. It is to say that the oneness of God is just as important as the oneness of his people. That's our call. And then look at Jesus' gospel message for us in verse 17 through 18. Here it is. He is the only person in the history of the world who is quite literally born to die. He lived his entire life blameless, the whole time knowing that the greatest thing he would ever achieve in this life would be to die. He is the only person who has taken it up upon himself for all of humanity, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, to give his life for them. We are those people. He is our shepherd. And when we were dead, he gave his life for us. This is the epitome of what a shepherd does for his sheep. When they are in trouble, they put down their life so that the sheep may live. God continually jumps in front of the bullet for us on a daily basis, whether we recognize it or not. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And lucky for us, he really came out of the grave, which means that Jesus in our lives today is still alive and working. I said, because he came out of the grave, we have a continual caretaker, protector, and provider every day of our lives. And the Bible says he will come back one day to defeat every evil once and for all. Listen to this prophetic promise from Ezekiel 34. The Lord will be Israel's shepherd. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorns of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord, am their God. I am with them, and they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. This week, I want you to remember that God is still in our midst. God is still in our lives. And God is still the one constant shepherd that never changes. The shepherd lays down his life. So how do we respond to Jesus as the good shepherd? Here are two ways from the text. One, we put our trust back in him. Jesus does not expect us to be any more than sheep. And that's good news about being sheep, is that you don't need to know everything. God is the one that is going to take care of you. In a world that expects you to know everything and to be gods, we have good news, friends. We can be like sheep. And two, we can rest in the promise of Psalm 23. I want to invite you, if you're able to stand up right now as I read this. Actually, as we read this together. I wish that this psalm was read more at weddings and baby dedications than funerals, because there's so much life in this psalm for us today. Let's read all together. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. There you go. Amen. I wonder if today people need permission to realize their powerlessness. I think the Holy Spirit wants to empower you today in acknowledging that you're powerless. As the Apostle Paul writes, that his strength was found in his weakness. So it is with us today. So I'm just gonna invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would release your Holy Spirit right now on people that have come to the realization that, in fact, they're powerless. That, in fact, they're sheep. That, in fact, they need a shepherd. Lord, I pray right now for the people that have tried to take control over their own lives. Lord, would you take that control from them? We release our control to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower people right now. If you feel like that's you, you're like, I need God's help to empower me because I realize I have no control at all. I want you to raise your hand. And I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, bless those. Bless your sheep that have raised their hand. Empower them. Strengthen their souls. Let them know that you are good. You're not just a shepherd, you're a good shepherd. Yeah. Minister to their hearts. When life goes their way and when it doesn't, you're still good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.